we have the great paradox of the gospel. If you love your life and hold on to it, you lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you save it. It's a principle that works in the world to come and here, though you can't always see it right away. Thinking of saving, there's so many different themes in this gospel. Who do you say that I am? Christ asks every one of us. He goes from the apostles and lifts right off the page and looks at each one of us as he says this. He says to all then, I'm going to give you a daily cross. Do you still want to follow me? Can you take the risk? The spiritual life is a risk. I was thinking about risks and investments and money, and Christ is always talking about money in the Gospels, or the way to get ahead in the next world. What is the smart thing to be doing for the world to come? If we thought about it, we would make more of an effort since we're going to be in eternity forever. And this is a very temporary world. I remember my mother in the 1980s, some of you will remember this. She went to get a CD. I can't remember quite what year it was. It was like 81 or 82. And she said she never went more than 2 years out. It was too much of a risk. But she got a CD for 18% interest. Anybody remember that? Now you're thinking, how old are you? And she said to me, I don't think I'm getting enough interest. If she heard what's going on now, she'd be turning over in her grave. You know, 30-year bonds were like 3%. So this, I guess the inflation rate was about 20% then. That must have been the reason for that. But you look back at that, that was a sure thing. But now, you know, last week everything sort of dropped. Somebody said something and everything drops. It's hard to find a place to make any money these days. And people, even their jobs, don't pay as much as they used to. But everything's a risk. But the biggest risk is what looks the safest, or looked the safest. You put your money in a bank, and you've got a negative interest rate because the real inflation rate far exceeds what you're going to return. So your money slowly evaporates. And this is exactly, we all know this, and stocks are a risk. It can be an informed risk if you know what you're doing. But Christ says, if I hold on to my spiritual gifts, and if I am self-centered and don't give away to God, to others, that which I have been gifted for, I begin to lose what I've received. It begins to evaporate like a passbook account that pays far below the inflation rate. I think that's exactly what kind of analogy Christ would use if he were here today. And speaking from our language, we don't get to keep what we hoard for ourselves. We live in a world in which, and there's nothing wrong with these things in and of themselves, but where self-fulfillment is number one. What's on my bucket list for me to do? I'm only going to stay in this relationship, friendship, whatever, marriage, priesthood, religious life, as long as it's good for me. If I'm not being fed, out I go. I'm number one. I will serve you, Lord, but first let me finish my to-do list. Let me get my act together, and then I'll start serving in the church. When I'm caught up or when I'm finished watching this television program, then I'll say a little prayer. If I have time, you'll be last. I'm going to only tithe if I have anything left over. And these kinds of things, we begin to lose what we have because everything we have is meant for someone else. Paradoxically, if we're always chasing self-fulfillment, we never catch up to our own tail because it's never enough. If I give myself away, I find out who I really am. You see this very clearly, I think, in what we do here in the parish. This coming week is Interfaith Hospitality. We're not all called to be there. All of you who support the parish financially are there in a certain sense, aren't we? And some people, they take the risk, they come and we need somebody to cook breakfast, I believe, and one or two people to spend the night yet. And when we do that, yes, it's an inconvenience. Yes, I can't do what I want. Boy, do I find self-fulfillment. And sometimes a cross, too, don't we? If I spend an hour in prayer, I'm going to make a commitment to do this each day, God is going to ask something of you. There's a risk in getting closer to God. He says, oh, you want to get closer to me, do you? I'm going to hand you a daily cross. Do you still love me? There's a risk in even the St. Vincent de Paul Society, some of you belong to that here, the risk of being taken advantage of. Do we get taken advantage of? Yes. Do we stop risking? No. The building project is a risk. I haven't talked about it much lately. But it began with wanting a master plan. It actually started with the Adoration Chapel in some ways. People wanted to build one after we got going. But starting the Adoration Chapel was a risk. We couldn't even fill up 2 hours on First Friday when we started. Now we've got it 85% filled, except for the wee hours of the morning. We took a risk. The risk of failure was very great. But you can't get anywhere in this world, and particularly with our Lord, without stepping out of the comfort zone. If I stay in here, I'm going to lose. Financially, spiritually, friendships, marriage, religious life, priesthood, I don't care what you're doing, your career, your college, your school, we have to take risks if we're going to get ahead. What is my vision? People of 50 years ago had a vision. They put this up. We came along. The people of the future are depending on us to do what we need to do so that they will exist. Because we took the risk, they will have a building that, God, please God, will stand for 100 years. Because we took the risk, because we saw what we needed to do. And it took a lot of discerning to get to there. I started out leading and ended up following, if any of you are familiar with this. I was dragged along until I came on board because I too had to learn to take a risk. And it's not easy. But I've come to see that this is the way life is. I share just personally, now Deacon, we know Father James pretty well in his story, and all eight of these guys all had either jobs or careers. They're all really interesting. I don't know if some of you read the Sentinel. But some of them gave up quite interesting jobs. And there's one guy that's now the Archbishop of Lithuania. He used to be a good friend of my stepbrother's. He gave up a fiancé and in the 80s, a $50,000 a year job, which was really saying something. And now he's the Archbishop of Lithuania. He used to be in my dad's hot tub in the back of the... I'm going to write him and say, I've got pictures of you in the hot tub. But he took a risk, didn't he? There would be no Archbishop of Lithuania with this man in it if he hadn't risked. I know that when I was sitting here thinking, you know, that... the risk of leaving my own job, you know, a comfortable position that I liked with a comfortable salary and great benefits, to go into a school with 200 guys with no guarantee of success, but a guarantee that I'd have to do public speaking every week, which I was terrified of. But God said, take the risk. Take the risk, right? Many of you had to take a risk, and you regret when you don't sometimes because the opportunity doesn't come again. The boat would have left. I don't know where I'd be, but there'd be somebody else here now. I don't know where I'd be, but, you know, this is what life is. In our spiritual journey, the Lord will invite us to risk, because if we don't, we are not going to achieve, we won't become the person we're meant to be. And as I was discerning the priesthood, somebody gave me a piece of advice that I use continually now, although the time frame has changed. I was 34 at that time, and I said the unimaginable age of 50 at that age, which is now in the rearview mirror by a number of years. And I said, who is this person at 50? This was something I was asked to do. And what must I do so that he will exist? More importantly, what does God want me to do so that his will exist? And I realized it wasn't what I was doing. And he needed to exist. I use the same principle with the church in many of the decisions we make. What must we do now so that the future will exist? And this is true for our spiritual lives. We're all headed to eternity very quickly. What must I do here to prepare for that world? Every choice I make is forming the person I will be forever. I've shared this story before, but I think of all the burials I've done, this is the most poignant one. There have been a lot of poignant things at that end of life that we priests are privileged to share with you. I consider it a great privilege. had a lot of deaths in my family, and I loved being able to mediate that with people. But an acquaintance of mine, not a parishioner, I was in Los Angeles visiting, and I stopped and visited this person who was dying. In fact, they died while I was there. And he said to me, he said, Gary, Father Gary, said, I don't have any friends anymore. Nobody visits me. He said, all my friends, we used each other. I had a friend if they could do something for me. It was his business. And they were my friend if I could do something for them. But when they were ill, I didn't want to come around because it wasn't good for me. And now I'm sick and they won't come to me either. Sort of a word of warning. I thought, gosh, how sad. He was very honest about this. And so anyway, it turned out I didn't do the funeral, but I did do the burial for him. And there were five family members there, four family members and myself at the burial, that was all. And as we buried him, I walked away from that, and his widow came up to me, or we walked away together, and she said, my husband was a very selfish man, and she walked away. And I think that there's a little of that in all of us, but it is, and I think that this is a kind of a parable in a way. I'm sure not everything he did was like that. But our Lord said, if you are selfish and hold on to your gifts and only give what's left over of who I am, what I have, my time, my prayer, my life, my family, my God, I'm going to lose all of that which I love and won't share. But everything paradoxically I give away, I get more and more fulfilled. More and more I grow into the likeness of God. So it's a spiritual principle he's giving us, and he promises the risk of following him. I'm going to give you a cross. Well, you're going to get one whether you follow him or not. Might as well be one that God picks out for us. The risk he takes is that you're going to reject it. The risk you take is that it's going to be hard. But without a risk, there's no reward. Without jumping off the comfort zone, there is no future, except more or less and less and less. So today we ask ourselves, what risk is God asking me to take for him in the spiritual life so that we may exist in the future, this world and the world to come, in exactly the way that God wishes us to grow?